ABC News. I'm Daria Albinger. They left literally on a moment's notice.
I got about within two blocks of my house and everything was engulfed with flames.
You saw the fire.
Saw the fire.
Kessa Stoddard telling ABC News she and her family lost everything in this week's wildfires on Maui. The death toll rising to 67, making it the deadliest natural disaster since Hawaii became a state. Sam Bankman-Fried left federal court in New York City in handcuffs and headed to jail to await trial. A judge has revoked the FTX founder's bail, accusing him of harassing a witness. A U.S. attorney from Delaware who had been leading the investigation into President Biden's son, Hunter, has been elevated to special counsel. That designation will give David Weiss more latitude in the probe. The Illinois Supreme Court is allowing the state's ban on assault weapons to stand. The judge is ruling 4-3 that a lower court was mistaken in finding the ban unconstitutional. This is ABC News. The state of Texas is questioning the legal rights of what it terms an unborn child. ABC's Chuck Sievertson explains.
A Texas prison guard in Abilene says she had a stillborn baby in 2021 because prison officials refused to let her leave work for more than 2 hours after she began feeling intense pains similar to contractions. In the lawsuit filed last year, Salia Issa claims hospital staff told her they could have saved her baby if she arrived sooner. Issa is seeking monetary damages. Her attorney and others say the state attorney general's office has argued in court that a fetus should be considered a person with legal rights. Texas AG and prison system want the suit tossed. Chuck Sievertson, ABC News.
Toyota is recalling more than 160,000 Tundra and Tundra hybrids. It's due to the possibility of a fuel leak. The National Highway Traffic Safety Administration says it can increase the risk of a fire. The automaker is making preparations to repair the affected vehicles. Daria Albinger, ABC News.
The New York Times calls BritBox the best of British telly. Stream brilliant series you can only find on BritBox. Unlock acclaimed favourites like Vera and Stonehouse, plus the upcoming original drama Archie, the story of Cary Grant. Start a free trial at BritBox.com.
Did you know the Wisconsin State Fair is 172 years old? It still celebrates the industries important to our state's history, like agriculture. But every year, new attractions and items are added. This year, there's more than 100 new foods to try. So what do you think topped the culinary list last year? Flamin' hot Cheetos chicken on a stick? Deep-fried old-fashioned? Or Pino pretzel popper brat? The answer's coming up. The Wisconsin State Fair didn't start in its current home of West Alice. The first was in Janesville along the Rock River, then moved to different locations the next 40 years. The original cream puff has been around almost as long, close to 400,000 are gobbled up every year. So which food was number one last year? It was the Pino pretzel popper brat. It came out on top. The State Fair is a true slice of Wisconsin, and it runs through August 13th. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios.
Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
If you care about animals or crops, you probably care how the weather could impact both.
It's summer in Wisconsin, and the success of your efforts often depends on knowing the forecast. Count on your local Civic Media weather team for all the information you need.
Crops' roots are also growing deeper in search for water, which is bad news, because when rain finally falls, it will sit shallow and be absorbed in the top layers of the soil.
Your weather and more for your part of Wisconsin.
On your local Civic Media radio station and streaming on the app.
For over a century, AM radio has evolved to meet the needs of our community. More than 80 million listeners depend on AM radio each month. It's also the backbone of the emergency alert system, keeping us safe in dangerous times. A new bill in Congress would ensure this free, reliable service remains in cars. Text AM to 52886 and tell Congress to support the AM Radio for Every Vehicle Act.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to 4 messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
Do you ever get tired of one-sided conversations? Have you changed the station due to mean-spirited rhetoric? Wouldn't it be refreshing to listen and engage in civilized dialogue about politics and how issues affect our families differently? Welcome to the Rational Revolution. I'm Chris Elfheim.
And I'm Emily Sefos. Together, we'll look at today's issues through a politically purple lens. So join us on Thursday evenings from 7 to 8 on WGBW, WISS, and the Civic Media app.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba.
Please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over. Then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Donald J. Trump has now been indicted for a third time. The purpose of the conspiracy was to overturn the legitimate results of the 2020 presidential election by using knowingly false claims of election fraud. The defendant enlisted co-conspirators to assist him in his criminal efforts. Jim Troupas, Ron Johnson, they're coming for you. Giuliani, Sidney Powell, Jeffrey Clark, yeah, you as well.
Weeknights at 6 p.m.
on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
I'm sorry, I'm really riled up this morning.
Why is that a thing? How can that be a thing?
Yeah, it shouldn't be a thing.
Just what a... I want to swear. I want to swear so badly.
Moving Wisconsin forward, one joke at a time. This is Kristen Bry with As Goes Wisconsin.
Yada, yada, yada.
Hello, Wisconsin!
Who is responsible for keeping the Brewers in Wisconsin? 844-967-2789. If you've been following along with the months-long saga now of how are we going to pay for renovations for American Family Field to keep the Brewers past 2030. There was a bit of an update this morning. Molly Beck wrote an article in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel that started like this. The Milwaukee Brewers could start looking for a new home this fall if state and local officials fail to reach agreements by the end by then on a taxpayer funded package to fund improvements to American Family Field required in the team's lease with the state. So it's a process that could lead them to boom towns of Charlotte, North Carolina, or Nashville, Tennessee. And the article goes on to talk about the deal that Evers had proposed in his budget proposal back in February. Talks about how Republicans in the legislature rejected that deal and have yet to introduce their own. They said at one point, Robin Voss said at one point that he was going to had a self-imposed deadline of July 4th. That is obviously gone. But they still have not. I have not read any proposals besides the fact that they want local governments to be involved in paying for it. So potentially bringing back the stadium sales tax and local officials. Not very interested in that. So where does the buck stop? Who is responsible for keeping the Brewers in Wisconsin? I would love to hear from you on this. 844-967-2789. That is 844-96-PARTY. And we have a special guest. No, it is not Wednesday. It is indeed Friday. But I know someone very near and dear to this show who feels passionately about this. And so Greg Bach.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Do you have feelings?
Lots. So many feelings about this.
Who do you think's responsible for keeping the Brewers in Wisconsin?
The people who own the company.
The owners.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think that the state and the city and, you know, I think that we do get money. You know, there are economic advantages to having a baseball team, but I think it's the team that should be coming to us with a deal that says this is what we're going to do. A split of, you know, 60, 40, 70, 30, however the split is, if you want to get super technical, but we will provide this much, you will provide this much because you get this much economic advantage from it. We will pay because this is our team and this is, you know, but that's not it. It is local governments. It is the governor. It is politicians running around scrambling, saying, how do we do this? While the Brewers are sitting there with their pockets out going, we don't know what to do. Can you help us? Signed, billionaires. I think that the team is responsible for, if not the total upkeep, a portion of it.
But they don't own the building.
They don't own the building, but they reap the benefits of the building. So they do have a stake in this. It's not like they're like, well, we just show up. I mean the uniforms are washed when we get here. I mean, we don't know anybody. I don't even know the guy who mows the lawn. No, there is an economic impact and people benefit from it, but it shouldn't just be the taxpayers who pay for it all. We did that last time. Mm-hmm. We do it every time. Mm-hmm. I just saw a VR 3D rendering of the $2.1 billion Tennessee Titans stadium that's going to be built. Do you think the owners are going to pay a dime for that? No. It's going to come through tax money, through the state, through local government. And guess what? Not everyone likes football. Not everyone likes baseball. Mm-hmm. And I was telling Jane before the show started, when I wasn't a baseball fan a couple years ago, I didn't care anything about this. People were like, the stadium tax. I'm like, it's a penny. Who cares? Now that I am a baseball fan, I hate this so much because I feel like it's a slap in the face that they're just like, well, you got to fix it. You got to help us. It's not up to you guys to do it. So we'll just, and if you don't do it, by the way, guess what? If you don't do it, we're going to go to Charlotte.
Well, and that's the thing. It's like, do they have the leverage and the power that they don't have to? Because yes, there are other places that they could go. I mean, because in the veiled threat or in the very real scenario that the A's are leaving Oakland and they're going to Vegas.
The case in point, the best point is right here in our backyard. The Bucks. The Bucks were like, if you don't give us money for the Burrito Pfizer Forum, it looks like a burrito to me, the Burrito Pfizer Forum, we're going to take our ball, literally, and go home. And we're going to go somewhere else. Said by a man whose son ran for office, and between the two are worth a lot of money. So to me, this...
Even more now, because he sold his stake.
To me, this whole thing of is crying wine, we need your help. And if you don't help us, we're not going to do anything. We're going to leave. I'm tired of it.
No, I know. But I'm saying, because in the alternative, though, if they have the upper hand, they being the owners,
yeah,
that they're like, if you don't fund this, we will leave.
Yeah.
Is it worth calling their bluff and have potentially having the team leave?
I don't think so, honestly, because I think that they don't care at the end of the day.
Who is it responsible for staying here?
Well, we are by de facto then, but you're asking me the question, who is? I'm going to tell you it's either the team or a mixed of the two.
Okay.
What you're saying is, who needs to save it then? We have to, because we have no choice. If we want to keep it, Tony Evers doesn't want to be the governor who lost the Brewers on his watch. So we have no choice. So we're basically being blackmailed into this.
Yeah, I know.
This is highway robbery. It's extortion. So to me, they don't care about the team. If they're like, well, I guess we'll just change the colors of the team, change the name, change it to Nashville, I don't know, the Twangers or Guitar Pickers, and welcome baseball to Tennessee. And
Spittoons.
The Spittoons, you know.
Oh, we're talking about who, we're asking the question,
who is
responsible for keeping the Brewers in Wisconsin? Would love to hear from you, 844-967-2789. We got Travis on the phone. Travis, who is responsible for keeping the Brewers in Wisconsin?
Well, hate to bring up a sports metaphor, but this should be a team effort.
Da-da-da!
In thinking the same way, the Brewers don't own the stadium.
Yep.
They lease that stadium. So when your furnace goes out at your rental home, do you put that new furnace in, or does your landlord put that new furnace in?
The landlord.
So, right. So the city or the stadium district is the landlord of the stadium. So they need to be partially responsible for whatever upgrades that stadium needs. That's my point of view.
Okay. And that's fair. I think.
So then further than that, Travis, because that becomes, how do we fund it? And so then do you have thoughts on what Evers' plan was originally versus a pending Republican plan versus going back to, where are you located out of, Travis?
I live in Greenfield.
Greenfield. So you're Southeast Wisconsin. So would you be okay, like, bringing the stadium tax back?
I didn't notice that it left. So, yes.
There you go.
We don't notice these things when they leave. We have them for a while, and everybody complains about them right up front, and then you forget that it's happening.
So, you, So your number one priority is that the Brewers stay, no matter, and you think that the government does play a role because they own the building.
Absolutely. The government plays a huge role. And the amount of money that we lose over the next 20 years, if the Brewers aren't here, is pennies compared to what it's going to take, what it's going to cost to get them to stay.
Good point. Thanks for the call, Travis.
844-967-2789, 844-96-PARTY, if you want to chime in, either text or phone. Karina from Milwaukee. Good morning, Karina.
Good morning. Well, I'm agreeing with the rental situation, but also I don't charge my own, the service guy who's coming to change my furnace for a ticket to get into my apartment either. So I've been charged for a ticket. I've been charged for taxes. I don't even go there, watch for it, and I cannot even tell myself saying, okay, fine, I don't have maybe kids, like some people don't do, but they do pay for schools, for all the municipal use, even though they don't use it because it's a future generation. We need to educate kids. We need to make sure that we have a educated next generation. What good do I get from the Brewers? Nothing. I don't have an interest in the sport, neither in the building, neither in anything like that, but I'm forced to pay for it. Besides the point, only because I live in Milwaukee. The rest of the state, which are receiving the money from it and having a share from it as we know it, and we did talk about it, they do absolutely nothing. And when we need money in Milwaukee, they put more taxes on the people who live in Milwaukee.
So you're saying you don't think it should be paid locally through taxes and it should be a statewide funding, or that...
Yes.
Yeah, that's what you're saying. Yeah. So as far as it's a responsibility of the state, not for the region.
Which was mentioned in the article about David Crowley saying this should not come from the county, this should come from the state because it's state funding. But David Crowley also then said, well, we'll revisit it and we might help. Because now people are feeling the pressure.
Well, and also now the city is also getting a sales tax and there's more money to be gained from the city and the county by people going to Brewers games.
Yeah, I mean...
Thanks for the call, Karina.
I don't disagree. Honestly, I don't disagree with either one of them. I do think that there is a joint partnership that needs to happen. But once again, it can't just be the Brewers standing back going, we need your help. What are you willing to put into it with your money as owners, as executive, the whole thing, the organization of the Brewers that makes lots of money off of this? What do they put into it? Like, what is their financial stake?
I mean, this. I feel like this brings to a bigger conversation of just like the constant welfare we have from billionaires,
yeah,
and corporations.
They need help,
yeah,
and that they because they. It's also because they have leverage,
mm-hmm.
And but it's just the money that they are in a position to gain and not spend. That this is just another example of. But ultimately, I don't think anyone. No one wants to lose the Brewers. I don't think the Brewers want to leave. The government, obviously, as you said, Governor Evers doesn't want to be the governor who lost the Brewers. A lot of us, even for people who I think aren't necessarily huge, maybe not Karina, sports fans are like, there is a nostalgia there, right?
Yeah.
But like, who's gonna fall on the sword? Where is this going to come from?
We will.
All right. We're going to keep talking about this after the break. Who's responsible for keeping the Brewers in Wisconsin? 844-967-2789. We'll be right back.
Summertime in Wisconsin, and whatever the weather, it will impact you and your plans.
Should I water the garden? Will our event be rained out? Count on your local Civic Media radio station for in-depth details and the most up-to-date forecast.
Temperatures are rising into the mid and upper 70s under sunny skies.
It's your weather and more for your part of Wisconsin.
On your local Civic Media radio station and streaming on the Civic Media app.
People won't give you the real talk on drugs. But it's time we know the facts. Fentanyl is killing people. It's a powerful opioid, often made illegally and commonly mixed with illicit drugs. It can even be pressed into counterfeit pills that resemble prescription medications. Just 2 milligrams, about the size of a few grains of sand, can potentially be lethal. This isn't an ad to scare you, but it is an ad to make you think twice. Get the facts. Go to realdealonfentanyl.com. This message is brought to you by the Ad Council.
More than 80 million Americans depend on AM radio each month for news, weather, and emergency information. A new bill in Congress would make sure AM radio remains in cars. Because when cell and internet services are down, this free service could be your only lifeline. Text AM to 52886 and tell Congress to support the AM Radio for Every Vehicle Act.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to 4 messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
Here's your updated forecast. Chance for scattered thunderstorms. Overnight, otherwise mainly cloudy skies. Lows level off around 61. West winds 5 to 10 miles an hour. Daytime highs approaching 80 tomorrow. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times. Partly cloudy skies again tomorrow night. Lows dip down to about 59. Temperatures a bit below average Sunday and Monday, with highs from the upper 60s to the mid 70s. Chance for scattered thunderstorms Monday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Ray Miller. Right now, it's 67.
From the home of the frozen tundra, Green Bay's choice for news talk, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
I'm fixing a home. Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. I'll tell you what, I contrast Tanya Chutkan in D.C. to Eileen Mercedes Cannon, the Mar-a-Lago case down in Florida. She is doing everything in her power to stall for Trump, to stall the inevitable trial in this case. Because right now, it's theoretically possible, it should be possible, to try that case before the election also, before the November 24 election. In Washington, D.C., Jack Smith has asked for a trial date of January 2nd. And that's very, very reasonable. And Trump will complain and move to extend it. Tanya Chutkan doesn't put up with any baloney. They tried to extend the protective hearing order today, saying that it wasn't convenient for their lawyers. She said, too bad, and she held it. But let me give you some ways that Eileen Mercedes Cannon can serve Trump's interests, and the average layman who's not a lawyer won't realize it. Let me give you a couple of examples. One is, Jack Smith asked for permission to use evidence from a grand jury transcript of the grand jury in Washington, D.C. Now, the law is he absolutely has a right to do that. Many judges wouldn't even require a motion. They'd just say, we're going to have some testimony from this, or just file it under seal. She disclosed that there was a grand jury testimony in D.C. that was going to be pertinent to the Mar-a-Lago case. She's not supposed to even disclose that. It was filed under seal. She said, you can't file it under seal. What does that mean? Under seal means it's an envelope, says not to be opened without the written approval of the judge. If you just file it, it's a public document and the media has instant access to it. So she's saying you can't file it under seal. You can't file that request under seal. The second thing she then said was, why should I let evidence that was compiled before a Washington, D.C. grand jury? The implicit objection by Trump was really a racial objection. The grand jury in Washington, D.C. is going to reflect its population, whereas the grand jury in Florida, in Mar-a-Lago, would reflect a different demographic. And that's why, by the way, he tried to move the venue, the location of the Washington case, to West Virginia. You know what he said? He said it was a more diverse state. You know, this guy, these lawyers with a straight face, they say this stuff. Anyway, so Eileen Mercedes Cannon wants briefing on whether a grand jury testimony in another state or jurisdiction in a federal court can be used in her court. The guy who's last in his class in law school, who's never read a law book, could write that brief. She is delaying this by at least a month. Then she said none of the media can bring electronic devices into her court. Now, time out. There can't be photography of the court or tape recording. That is from the U.S. Supreme Court, and that's been the case for a long time. Okay. But when people go in there with cell phones, and this is the media, and they're told not to take pictures, not to tape it, but this way they can call in to their desks and immediately go out into the hallway and give an interview themselves. You've seen that all the time. You've seen court sketches in federal cases, and then you've seen the court reporter out in the hallway or outside on the steps of the courthouse doing a stand-up. She's trying to shut a lot of that down. She's trying to shut a lot of that down. Now, let me give you some other examples of how she could delay it. If I'm the prosecutor, if I'm Jack Smith, I would say he claims that it was just innocent and inadvertent that he left this stuff lying around with the locks on it. We want to put in evidence that he has ex-employees, hundreds, Y guests, thousands, who are not screened, and we have reason to believe that China, Iran, and Russia got hold of this stuff because we had a spike in the executions, the sniffing out and executions of our undercover agents over there by the Chinese, the Russians, and the Iranians. She's the one who decides what's relevant. I suspect she would say, nah, that's too prejudicial, not relevant. Then they have to go up to the Court of Appeals. That takes months. Now, let me tell you the mother of all obstructions by her that she could do. She goes to a trial. Jack Smith puts on his case. Trump moves for what's called a directed verdict. He moves to have her a judgment of acquittal, saying that's insufficient evidence. If he's smart, or she's smart and wants to help him, she'd say, well, Mr. Trump, put on a few witnesses. He puts on a few witnesses, and before he's done, she stops and she says, I made a decision. There's not enough here. I rule that he's acquitted. If she does that, that is not appealable. If she does that, Trump is acquitted. The Court of Appeals can't overrule it. The U.S. Supreme Court can't overrule it. If she let it go to a jury verdict and the jury came back and convicted him, then the government can, and she tosses it out anyway, the government can appeal that. If it goes to a jury, the jury acquits him, even Jack Smith can't appeal it. I expect that she's going to find a way to enter a judgment of acquittal that can't be appealed. This is a charade. Jack Smith should never have filed it in Florida, should have filed it in D.C., but God bless him. He's doing a great job otherwise. We're going to a break. The lines are open, 844-967-2789. I see you on the lines. You just came on. Do not hang up. I'll get back to you right after the break.
Mino and the Mayor in the morning. And the talk of Green Bay all day long. 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
ABC News. I'm Daria Albinger. They left literally on a moment's notice.
I got about within two blocks of my house and everything was engulfed with flames.
You saw the fire.
Saw the fire.
Kessa Stoddard telling ABC News she and her family lost everything in this week's wildfires on Maui. The death toll rising to 67, making it the deadliest natural disaster since Hawaii became a state. Sam Bankman-Fried left federal court in New York City in handcuffs and headed to jail to await trial. A judge has revoked the FTX founder's bail, accusing him of harassing a witness. a U.S. attorney from Delaware who had been leading the investigation into President Biden's son, Hunter, has been elevated to special counsel. That designation will give David Weiss more latitude in the probe. The Illinois Supreme Court is allowing the state's ban on assault weapons to stand. The judge is ruling 4-3 that a lower court was mistaken in finding the ban unconstitutional. This is ABC News.
It's so hot. Wait. Now it's going to rain? It is summer in Wisconsin.
As much as we love it, we love to hate it too. Find a forecast you can count on along with the in-depth details you need only from the Civic Media Weather Team.
These extended conditions have led us into a flash drought. Sitting in these above average temperatures with minimal rain has swiftly altered the local climate.
Your weather and more for your part of Wisconsin.
On your local Civic Media radio station and streaming on the Civic Media app.
Hey, this is Penny Pincher Bob, and I love a good rummage sale. If you love them too, you can list your Saturday rummage sale right here on this radio station. Your 15-second Saturday rummage sale ad runs Friday all day and Saturday morning for only $50 per week. If you would like to list your Saturday rummage sale, call us now, 715-629-9501. The deadline for each week is Wednesday at noon. Operators are standing by now. Please have a valid credit card ready to go. See ya!
Did you know the Wisconsin State Fair is 172 years old? It still celebrates the industries important to our state's history, like agriculture. But every year, new attractions and items are added. This year, there's more than 100 new foods to try. So what do you think topped the culinary list last year? Flamin' hot Cheetos chicken on a stick? Deep-fried old-fashioned? Or Pino pretzel popper brat? The answer's coming up. The Wisconsin State Fair didn't start in its current home of West Allis. The first was in Janesville along the Rock River, then moved to different locations the next 40 years. The original cream puff has been around almost as long. Close to 400,000 are gobbled up every year. So which food was number one last year? It was the Pino pretzel popper brat. It came out on top. The State Fair is a true slice of Wisconsin, and it runs through August 13th. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Call your local Bug Tussle rep today to find out how you can get free internet service. You heard that right, free internet. Call today before this deal ends. For Shawano and Okano counties, call Amanda at 920-600-4760. That's 920-600-4760. And for Brown, Manitowoc, and Kewaunee counties, call Scott at 920-530-1311. 920-530-1311.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
I would be remiss if I didn't say that some of what we do in government always is political. It has policy impacts. It has political impacts. But if your raison d'etre and your organizing principle is that my guy wins and your guy loses, the entire country suffers. That is not our call to serve. That is not what we raise our hand and say an oath.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Monday through Friday at 6 p.m. on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. We're going right to the lines. Bob of Madison, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's your mind today, Bob?
Well, I've got two thoughts. Mainly, how do you hold Trump accountable for all the violence coming out and everything? We've seen under Trump, we saw gun deaths double. It had been a steady curve all up to about 2015, and then all of a sudden it starts jumping up, the statistics. And just this last 2 years, counting this year, last year, they've doubled the mass murderers going out there. And when they check these guys out, they got a lot of Trump thinking, language, whatever, maybe even using the same words and so forth in a lot of stuff. Can you tie these things to Trump? Is there a way to hold him accountable for all the violence he's created in our society?
Yeah, excellent, excellent question. And the answer is, yeah, in two respects. One, holding him personally responsible when there's a crime committed is very difficult unless there's a greater link than just his shooting his mouth off in general. But the second one is politically. And everybody out there who is a Republican or is an independent and so forth, listen to what Bob just said. At some point, you've got to eradicate violence from your party. It didn't exist before this. In fact, your party was on the side of right back in 1861 with Abraham Lincoln. Get violence out of your party. And, you know, Bob, I want to build on that. Yes, a lot of these people say Trump things. Some of them have Trump stickers. But Trump has also been adopting QAnon language. There's certain code words that QAnon uses, like the storm. The storm is coming. Or, you know, there's some kind of an acronym with about eight letters in it that, you know, we stand one and all together, that kind of thing. And he says that. One of the things that really concerns me is the rise of racial violence in this society right now because of Trump. And I'll give you two examples. One was down in El Paso. The guy that went into that and killed many, many Latinos, I think it was a Walmart, drove from Fort Worth to El Paso, which is apparently about 12 hours. Apparently, it's a heck of a long drive. And he deliberately wanted to go to a Walmart where there would be a lot of minorities. He said that. Number two, Birmingham, Alabama, just the other day. This black guy who worked for this for the pier, for the boating line, whatever it is, saw a boat pull in to a dock that it wasn't authorized and another boat coming in. So they tried to contact the owners of the usurping boat. They couldn't do it. So he started to untether it so he could, I guess, move it or tow it down somewhere so the other bigger boat could come in. And he was set on and beaten. He was a black guy by all these white guys, and they were fairly brutal looking guys. Then what happened is there were some passengers on the other boat who were African-American, and they jumped in to defend him. And it was a racial brawl. Now, the police down there have not charged that so far as a hate crime. This misdemeanor assault, and I'm not going to second guess them on that one because it was obviously just over the boat thing. But a statistic that blew me away was when you talked about racial hate crimes up until 3 years ago, I think it was 18, 19, 20, there were zero such hate crimes in Birmingham, Alabama, zero. This year, there are hundreds. And I'm saying this one has not been charged as a hate crime, although it had racial overtones. But think about that. What is it that has changed in 3 years? And Trump's presidency seeped in, lying about attacking our democracy and about our elections, and this relentless, relentless, sneaky code language attacks on minorities. Trump has fostered racial violence. And that, to me, it's not only immoral, it's not only wrong, it's very dangerous. He is dividing society in a way, not just Republican and Democratic, but, you know, when he was talking about the grand jury and the prosecution in Washington, D.C., he went on and on about how filthy he thought Washington, D.C. was, and it was all racially disguised. And he was lying. It's not filthy at all. Washington, D.C. is a great town. Go there on vacation. I've been there many times. It's a beautiful place. It really is a beautiful place. And the people there are beautiful. And he is simply mouthing stereotypes to incite violence. Thanks for calling, Bob. I want to get to the fake electors. Judge Frank Remington in Dane County, very, very fine judge. I had his grandfather. I think it was his grandfather, Frank Remington Sr. for criminal law when I was in law school. Frank Remington, the senior, the elder, was one of the premier criminal law professors in the country. He was also UW Madison's representative of the Big Ten. He's a magnificent, magnificent teacher. I learned a lot from him. Anyway, his grandson, Frank Remington, just ruled that the civil case against the fake electors for $2.4 million can proceed to trial. The fake electors had brought a motion, said that the plaintiffs, I suppose they said, had no standing, that they couldn't bring this thing. Who were the plaintiffs? The plaintiffs were two Democratic electors, in other words, real electors plus a voter. And they want $2.4 million for the fraud. Frank Remington said that can go forward. Prior to that, one of the things they said, fake electors said, well, the Wisconsin Election Commission looked at this and said there's nothing there. Frank Remington said, yeah, one of them was Bob Spindell. He's a fake elector. One of the fake electors ruled that he hadn't done anything wrong. Okay. Well, Jeffrey Dahmer is, you know, he chop a guy's head off and stick it in the refrigerator. I didn't do anything wrong. What the hell? You know, you don't have the guy who did it opining on whether he did anything wrong. You don't have the guy who did it opining on whether he did anything wrong. But there's a subtext to this that really bothers me. Why is this only a civil case? Why are we not prosecuting the fake electors? The attorney general in Michigan prosecuted the fake electors, and she had more of them than we do. And they've just pled not guilty. They're right in the middle of the rock and roll. Fannie Willis in Fulton County in Atlanta is about to prosecute the fake electors, and she's only a district attorney. She would be like the equivalent of the DA of Milwaukee or Dane County doing it. DA of Dane County could do it, but he ain't going to do it. This has to be our attorney general, Josh Call. Good guy. I know Josh, know his family. Fine guy. But for whatever reason, he has said that he is relying on the feds to do this. And then he says, well, I can't confirm or deny that I wouldn't open an investigation. Well, you know, there's no investigation open right now. To say that I'm not going to confirm or deny if I would do it, okay. But this is August. The debate is in August. The first selection of delegates, Iowa caucuses and others, is January. The convention for the Republicans is in July of next year. That's only 11 months away. And if they pick Trump, so when are you going to go after the fake electors? Josh has brought some other cases and so forth, and there's the impression of activity, but it's not getting done. And there is no excuse to not prosecute them in Wisconsin when they are being prosecuted in Michigan. Michigan and Wisconsin are very similar, really quite similar, not just culturally, but in our laws. And I think we've got to prosecute them. Tony Evers, the governor, came out last week and said he agreed with that. So let's get going here, guys. We're going to the lines. Jack of Merrimack, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's your mind today, Jack?
You're hitting on it. You know, the Republican Party has not advocated the prosecution. They've not advocated incarceration. They've not advocated investigating. They've not even disavowed this scheme. And in fact, they barely, if anyone's mentioned it, I haven't heard about it. Anyone that votes for a Republican, how can you possibly trust someone who won't even mention the fact that there were 84 people in their party that were involved in a clear conspiracy, because it only takes two, not 84, to overturn the government of the United States? I mean, this is just an outrage. I'm pretty disgusted with Josh Call. Yes, I voted for him. Not only was he still continues to be better than the other choice would have ever been, but he's got to get with it and do something about it. If he doesn't do it, the DA for Dane County should do it. Or, hey, all these guys, including, by the way, Senator Johnson, who admitted being part of this, I bet Johnson will be at that Milwaukee forum. They ought to prepare a whole bunch of arrest warrants and just arrest all these guys when they come for that convention. I think that would be a real good idea.
Excellent call. Excellent call. Thank you very much, Jack. Listen, Jack Schmidt can't, the federal prosecutor can't possibly add 84 defendants to the Trump case. What are you kidding me? That would blow it up entirely. He's relying on the state attorneys general. Let's get going. Stephanie of Madison, my friend, thanks for calling. Stephanie, what's in your mind today?
Hey, another issue that just came up. What is a special counsel on Hunter Biden set up by Merrick Garland? To me, I don't know what that's all about. It seems like a waste of time, or, you know, just taking Hunter and dragging him through the mud to get it at his dad. It's just it's just a total waste. With that, I'm going to hang up and let you respond, okay?
Yeah, Stephanie, that's a great question. And just so everybody knows, Merrick Garland announced today that he was elevating this fellow Weiss, who's the U.S. attorney in Delaware, from U.S. attorney to special counsel. What does that mean? It means that it's very much harder to fire him, but Biden and Garland aren't firing anybody. I think basically it is a way of simply showing that Weiss was independent all along. I'm not as upset about it as a lot of people in the Democratic Party. They nailed Hunter Biden on two things. Now, remember something. They're the party that showed naked pictures of him, frontally naked pictures, that he was having relations with this woman, and somehow they must have photographed each other and it got leaked. Why do you put naked pictures of a guy, you know, to a committee? It had nothing to do with anything. They're trying to take the heat off of Jared Kushner and Trump. Okay. I believe that Hunter Biden should be investigated. They got him on two things, taxes and guns. The gun thing is because he's an addict. And he didn't disclose he was a drug addict and he shouldn't have had a gun. A court of appeals just issued a decision saying that's unconstitutional, another case. They said drug addicts can have guns. Now, frankly, I don't agree with the court of appeals. But if they're saying drug addicts can have guns, then why should Hunter Biden face a gun charge? That should be dismissed, even though I think ultimately drug addicts shouldn't have guns. The second thing, taxes. He had two $100,000 tax obligations in 2 years that he paid late. Roger Stone had several million. It is customary at that level to do that civilly. In other words, penalties, interest, and all that. They're going after Hunter Biden because he's the president's son. That's fine. All the special counsel thing now is, okay, we're going to open up and look at everything. That's fine. The fees he got for these companies he was involved in were not criminal. Joe Biden didn't get any of that. Donald Trump has gotten plenty of money from Russia and Saudi Arabia, and so has Jared Kushner. So sit back, and I'm not concerned about it. I think it elevates the status of the guy who's doing it anyway. I think he's an honest guy. And what I just said, I think, will ultimately be the judgment of the special counsel. We're going to a break. The lines are open. 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.
When I was young, they just gave me the number when I was young.
It doesn't hurt, feels good to help. And when you give blood, you provide a life-saving difference for others. The need doesn't take a summer break. So we have a challenge for you, started by Civic Media's Earl Ingram.
Congratulations to all those people and all of you who donate blood.
Take a selfie while giving blood, then post it along with hashtag Civic Pints. Give blood and you could get a prize too. Find challenge details and a donation center near you at civicmedia.us/giveblood. civicmedia.us/giveblood.
If you care about animals or crops, you probably care how the weather could impact both.
It's summer in Wisconsin, and the success of your efforts often depends on knowing the forecast. Count on your local Civic Media weather team for all the information you need.
Crops' roots are also growing deeper in search for water, which is bad news because when rain finally falls, it will sit shallow and be absorbed in the top layers of the soil.
Your weather and more for your part of Wisconsin.
On your local Civic Media radio station and streaming on the app.
AM Radio
provides always-on news, sports, talk, traffic, and weather reports. It also delivers vital emergency information when your community needs it most. A new bill in Congress would ensure AM radio stays in your car. Because when cell and internet services are down, this free emergency service is critical. Text AM to 52886 and tell Congress to support the AM Radio for Every Vehicle Act.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to 4 messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
Here's your updated forecast. Lows level off around 61 overnight under mainly cloudy skies. Westerly winds 5 to 10 miles an hour. High of 80 tomorrow. A blend of clouds and sun. Partly cloudy skies again tomorrow night. Lows dip down to about 59. Mid-70s, Sunday turning cooler, Monday with highs in the upper 60s and storms possible. Another look at the short range, lows level off around 61 overnight, high of 80 tomorrow. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Ray Miller. Right now, it's 67.
Broadcasting from the City Deck Studios on North Washington Street, the Talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. I want to talk very briefly about DeSantis. I can't believe this guy. Some new information has come out of Florida, new information about what he's doing to education down there. And I'm not talking now, there are all these disputes about the Don't Say Gay law and this, that, and the other thing. I'm talking about how he has... This guy is politically tone deaf. How he has essentially tried to take over the instruction of kids in grade school and high school. And I'm going to give you two examples. One of them is now they're being shown videos in a lot of their schools that denies climate science. That is clearly, in my view, at the impetus of some of the donors, especially in the energy industry. Why are you manipulating school curricula over that kind of an issue? Why aren't you encouraging kids, say, to be geologists, biologists, and let them look at science and make up their own minds? But why are you putting a political video out? The second one that really blew me away, and I'm indebted to Joy Reid on MSNBC for showing this thing. If any of you saw it, you know, it goes like this. And it's a right-wing guy who calls himself something university, whatever his name is. And he had these videos made, and this has to do with slavery. And what they have is they have two adorable cartoon kids. Let's say, you know, Julie and Ken. I mean, I forget their names, but adorable little kids. Grade school kids. And they travel back through time to interview famous people. I couldn't believe the one I saw, they interview Christopher Columbus. And he's a cartoon guy too on a ship. He has blue eyes, big flashing blue eyes. And he goes to them, well, kids, people say slavery is bad. Well, it's always existed, and I'll tell you, kids, it's a lot better being a slave than being killed. That's what I said. And I'm thinking, you know, it makes it sound like slavery was kind of a gentle indentured servitude where you're sort of an apprentice. You train to be a baker, or you train to be something. You learn a skill, and everybody loves it. I could not believe it. And there's nothing in there about the way slaves were treated, including right up until 1865, they were beaten and whipped. They were raped. They were sometimes raped in front of their husbands. Their children were sold away from them. Or a guy's wife could be sold away from him. He had to stand there and watch her being driven down the road, never to see her again. That's what slavery is. What the hell are they doing in Florida showing a video of two cartoon kids smiling and a smiling Christopher Columbus saying, well, kids, there's a lot worse than slavery. Being killed is a lot worse than slavery. I think you know, DeSantis at one point, I thought really had a shot at least getting the nomination away from Trump. He was a moderate at one time. He was an associate of Paul Ryan's. They were allies. Paul Ryan, I disagree with him on a lot of things, but he's a moderate. DeSantis somehow, like a bull in a china shop, just goes, well, I've got to go the other way. And he has no judgment at all. He goes so far that people look on him as grotesque, kind of a Frankenstein. I mean, let's be blunt. I think there should be age-appropriate materials in schools. Do I think that the writings of the Marquis de Sade should be available in a grade school or high school library? No. His novel Justine? No. Do I think that virulently propaganda, anti-Semitic, anti-nativist, and racial tracts should be available in grade school and high school libraries? No, of course not. It has to be age-appropriate. In college and in grad school or in public libraries in general, you have whatever you want. It's not a violation of the First Amendment to say the kids in grade school should not have the writings of the Marquis de Sade. That said, what these characters are doing is totally turning the curriculum in grade schools and high schools slowly into propaganda on science, on slavery. I mean, you know, what, DeSantis, what are you doing? You could easily make the argument that I'm making that things should be age appropriate without doing this crazy stuff. People will not vote for a crazy man, not for president. Although, as I say it, they did in 2016, very sadly. Going to the lines, Wisco Paul, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's your mind, Wisco Paul?
Just quickly here, Matt, talking about DeSantis. I think he was aiming his comments and what he's doing in Florida towards the Iowa voter. The last thing he done here, that's off the deep end there with the slavery thing. But I really think he was trying to go after the Iowa voter and win the Iowa primary. I don't want him president, but I'm thinking that's what he might be trying to do. So thanks, Matt. Bye.
Yeah, no, I think you're right. And I think that all of this is politically calculated. All of it's politically motivated. And doing stuff like saying there's a 6-week limit on abortion. What about women who have life-threatening conditions, have an ectopic pregnancy, have sepsis? Even in Mississippi, for Pete's sake, it was 15 weeks. Nobody likes abortion. I don't want abortion. But if you consign women to pre-Roe butchery when their health and life is at stake, that's not right. That is unconstitutional itself. That's unconstitutional itself. This guy has absolutely no judgment. He appeared at a rally. He, by the way, fired his campaign manager a couple of days ago, put in a new one, his chief of staff, who's never managed a campaign in his life. And he gets up in front of a crowd. He gets up in front of a crowd in Iowa the other day, and the whole crowd shouts, putting fingers, because he apparently eats pudding with his fingers. So they say, I don't know if he eats it or not. But, I mean, the point is, he shows up at one point in white go-go boots. I don't know, you remember that? I mean, you know, hey, look, guy, you're running for president. He immediately trashes Ukraine just because Trump trashed Ukraine. He follows Trump trying to be more extreme. People who don't want Trump don't want that either. I cannot believe the stupidity in the Republican Party right now. We're coming to the end of the show. Great show. Great callers, as always. Everybody out there, have a good weekend. And by the way, I want to thank you all very much. The sales of my two novels, China Code and Milwaukee Jihad, have really soared with your backing. And you'll see a lot of them. China Code, Milwaukee Jihad, a lot of the history that I talk about in an action-packed, I think, thriller and easy to read. You'll enjoy it very much. Stand by for a great show. Diamond Crute, Devil's Advocate, Matt Flynn Direct. We'll be back same time, same place on Monday.
Hey, this is Petty Pincher Bob, and I love a good rummage sale. If you love them too, you can list your Saturday rummage sale right here on this radio station. Ha ha ha! Yeah, your 15-second Saturday rummage sale ad runs Friday all day and Saturday morning for only $50 per week. If you would like to list your Saturday rummage sale, call us now. 715-629-9501. The deadline for each week is Wednesday at noon. Operators are standing by now. Please have a valid credit card ready to go. See ya!
I'm Smokey Bear, and I made an assistant to help you out. Because only you can prevent wildfires.
Hey, Assistant Smokey Bear, call me Papa Bear, because I'm grilling up dinner. Do you get it?
Yes, good job.
So, what should I do with all these coals?
Don't just toss them out. Put them in a metal container, because those embers can start a wildfire.
I understand. The stakes are high.
Ha, 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 ha.
Learn more at SmokeyBear.com.
Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay.
WGBW 1590 AM Denmark. W250 CV Green Bay.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
I'm Mark Remillard. Survivors of the deadly